The Defenders Live with our very own Miss Anna Edwards. Let's hear what Miss Anna has to say. Anna, take it away.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. Today is Monday. The Defenders is brought to you as a production for the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, and you can learn more at defendersfje.blogspot.com and defendersfje.org. Today I have a guest, and this is a return, and it's one of the great opportunities of this program is that we can start conversations and we can continue conversations as they evolve. And I'd like to, I'm very delighted to be able to welcome back Mr. William Deng from the Southern Sudan Project and Mr. Sheikh Nyang, who is with the African Community Network. What I would like to do is just sort of give you a little bit of a heads up in terms of, my apologies. I'd like to give you a heads up in terms of the topic for today, and that is, once again, we are talking about Sudan and Southern Sudan. The last time that we touched on this issue was in July, just before the July 9th, basically independence celebration for Southern Sudan. And on that day, the country formalized its separation from Northern Sudan and celebrated what it considered to be the start of a new nation. And what the people are hoping is an opportunity for a cohesive, collaborative, productive, peaceful transition and to address many of the social justice issues that arose from the dynamics of the last 30 years. The last 30 years, of course, are a result of the years before that as well. William has been here before to talk about some of the current needs of the Southern Sudanese population. And Sheikh was here with us. I think you've been here with us once before to talk about Senegal, right? And anyway, I'd like to welcome you both. Sheikh, welcome. William, welcome.
Thank you.
What we were going to approach today was to talk about both subjects. One is Southern Sudan and where it is now and what it hopes is coming, what is coming down the road. And then the larger context, or the context for the continent, of the African Union and what its existence, what its goals and its missions mean. If anyone has a chance to go to the internet at defenderslive.blogspot.com, I did post a link to the African Union website and some of the statements of its mission and its goals, just so people can sort of have an overview. And but I'd like, I think I'd like, Sheikh, for you to start and just give us a little bit of what the African Union is about, and then William will talk about the Southern Sudan and start to interweave that context. Of course, we have 27 minutes to do all of this in, so get right to it.
Thank you, Anna, for inviting me here. So, indeed, this African Union is really an initiative that came a long way. First, you know, we talk about the Pan-Africanism that had been initiated by Africans in the diaspora, mainly from England, then had been joined lately by some African leaders. We remember Kwame Nkrumah. We remember also John Kenyatta and Robert Sobukwe, all those African leaders who really tried to bring about the unity of Africa. Because as we know, Africa through the colonization, and before the colonization through slavery, you know, has been divided and weakened, and it was really a dream for those African leaders to bring about again the unity of the continent in order to give it its past glory. And for those reasons, you know, they tried to create the Organization of African Unity first, but it was like a compromise with the OAU. Then they progressed to the African Union with the ultimate goal today to create a union government with one president, one government, one capital city. That is the target right now for the AU.
That's an enormous goal for a continent. Mm. Yeah, I mean, to have it all unified under a single government and a single president.
Mm.
What do you see as, what's the state of that now? That is the ultimate goal. Where do you think the AU is right now in that process?
Like in the process, let's say that, you know, since the passing of the initiators like Kwame Nkrumah, we have encountered a lot of really obstacles. And then we had like some upcoming leaders who came, like unfortunately the embattled, you know, the embattled Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
So we have also the president of Senegal, who was very vocal into creating the African Union. We have others like the president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, who is also in the same track, trying to bring about the unity of Africa. So there are a lot of challenges, really,
yeah,
at this moment.
Yeah.
But and all of those because Africa is not quite free from the grip, from the grasp of Europe. But if we consider that the strength, the economic strength that Europe used to have, is coming a little bit, you know, is fading a little bit,
yeah,
at this moment.
Yeah.
And if we consider all the like the redistribution of the economic wealth around the world between the north and the south, with those emerging countries coming from the south, I can name like China, India, even in Africa, South Africa,
yeah,
in South America, like Brazil, you know, and those, a lot of, you know, a myriad of emerging countries. So we can see that this moment, the world order is changing.
Right.
And that world order is really favorable into bringing that unity of Africa, because the grasp that Europe used to have on Africa is no longer, is weakening at
it's
this
not
moment.
Absolute, yeah.
It is not absolute.
Yeah, sure.
So even though we have a lot of difficulty that we are facing at this moment, it is really, we can still expect that it will happen.
Right.
And moreover, if we go like to Africa at the grassroots level,
yeah,
the African people are really very much in favor of the unity of Africa, even though at the political level, we have some head of states who are not in the trend at this moment, but
yeah,
the push-up will come from the grassroots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's a good transition, because now we're talking with William, the struggles of Sudan, and the southern Sudan has been very much both a political struggle and a people struggle. And as a new nation, one question I do have is how many member nations are participating in the African Union right now?
Yeah, at this moment, there must be 54 with the new Sudan.
So all of them?
Yes.
Okay. And so Southern Sudan is a new country. Tell us, William, what you are thinking about Sudan's prospects now as a new nation, and talking about changing leadership, changing dynamics, how that affects unity.
Yes. Thank you, Anna, Edward, and I want to thank your audience who are always very interested in issues of the humanity around the world, especially in Africa as well. I want to thank them for their, you know, support to this radio. But being someone from Sudan and also have a new nation a couple months ago, Let me a little bit give you a little bit what made Sudan to be broke to two, in order for you to understand this, and what also the hope of that new nation and where they're going with it.
Yeah.
Well, Sudan is the largest country in Africa, and Sudan not only the largest but the motherland of Africa. It was the first nation of the Africa. Sudan have been well known as Kushite, and well known as the Nubians, as well as the Nile River that they call the longest Nile River in the world, especially in Africa, to come from the East Africa all the way down to Egypt. Sudan, with all this wealth resources that we have, and we have been in struggle for too long. And historical aspect, the Sudan have been the civilization started in that region. You can name it East Africa as well, but Sudan is the one that can mean where the African started marching to the east and west and so on. Sudan had been invaded for too long by, you know, Adam and Far, the Arabs, immigrant, and then the colonization that actually was able to take over Africa in 1800. Sudan was actually invaded before that colonization of the Western world. Mm-hmm. Sudan was actually 6 years under the Arab leadership before any other country in Africa. And that became the struggle of the Sudanese people. When the British came, and they left in 1956, and Sudan got independent from British. But Sudan did not get independent from the Arab as well. So we fall to the Arab slavery after we left from British.
Mm-hmm.
That became the disaster of the people of Sudan. And the reason of that colonization of Sudan, when our leaders were able to fight back, we tried to accommodate the Arab immigrants as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not call them immigrant anymore, we called them as Sudanese.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to work things out that we can live together. But they refused to accept us, but we accept them. And that became the problems. And the agenda, when they invade Sudan, they come in to invade our culture, to refuse that we should not live as African. We want to live as Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would become the problem. Another thing was they come in and took away our history, and they want us to live according to the Arab history, and that became the disaster. And because of those matters, we other people accepted. They say, okay, no problem. If you want us to be a Muslim, there's nothing wrong with that. We can be a Muslim.
Mm.
So the region of the other Sudanese African indigenous, they accept Islam to become Muslim. They were told also not also be a Muslim enough. It's enough. You got also to change your name. You are no longer African names. So the 70% of Sudanese now, they're carrying Arab names.
Right.
And then we say, okay, that's fine. We can be also carrying Arab names as well.
Yeah.
And then it become another question that, okay, being a Muslim and having Arab names is not enough. You also change your color. We said that is a God question. We cannot change that. Because, we can be Muslim. That's fine. We can be also... we can change our name as well, being Arab name, but that's fine. But we cannot change our color because it's a God made. You cannot turn me Chinese when I'm not Chinese.
Yeah.
And that become the issues that we're dealing with. And our solution was to wipe out those who are a little bit darker skin, to modify their land for a little bit lighter skin folk that they should exist than the black one.
So distillation really meant assimilation.
That's right. So it became a disaster. So when the African young intelligent realized that this had become a disaster for their race, they stood up and fought the war. It became the Sudan People Liberation Army. Was actually forming the south, the southern part,
right,
from the largest tribe in Sudan called Dinka tribes. It was the head of them, Dr. John Garam. And that war went on for 22 years, I'm sorry. And it was before that 15 years, another 22 years. Sandivity left in 1956. War started in Sudan right away.
Immediately.
It became two war, and the treaty was signed in 1972. It did not solve any problem. So when this John Garang came with the vision of the new Sudan, to change Sudan from the old Sudan to new Sudan, that Sudan should accommodate all of us, and Sudan should become the African state, and Sudan also should not be Arab and Islamic state. Sudan should be accommodate Muslim and Arab and Christian, whatever it is, and live as brothers and sisters and call ourselves as Sudanese.
Sure.
And that was the vision of the new Sudan.
What
So when it did not work,
secular, would that have translated to a secular state as opposed to
a secular state as the democratic state?
Yeah.
So you can have representative for different region and can represent your region and accommodate it as Sudanese.
Right.
And that did not work and broke the South away because the people in the North did not accept that idea.
Yeah.
And the South, when they realized that this thing is not work, they walk away from the Sudan and they form their own Sudan now because they want to see themselves as African. They want to identify themselves the African border and African Union.
Right.
That's why it was the aim of the South Sudanese broke away. That all this Sudan had not been Africa for too long, had been an Arab league than in African Union.
Gotcha.
So we have felt like we are not a part of Arab League, we are part of African Union. But I think that does not put an African Union is not actually justice. So now when we form, we try to we broke away. The another rebellion started also in the North itself. There were African also have been taken to the north against their will. So they're fighting backs.
Right.
And those are the Darfurian Muslim, 100% Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Nuba Mountain, Kushite.
Right.
Those who are very much the other Eastern Sudan.
Yeah.
And the, those who we call them the Nuba Blue Nile. And all this region now, they are dealing with the south and the north itself because they want to go back to claim their identity as African.
As African.
Even though they have Islam, they say Islam is not a problem for us, but as long we got to be African, we have no problem with that. And now they're fighting in the north. So
well,
they want to go
clear.
Back with the they want to go back with the South Sudanese.
Yeah.
But yes, South Sudanese has so much struggle. It starts from zero, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And also they are passionate about African Union as well. But the problem also, we don't need to forget that the struggle in Africa has been a challenge. Because every time that we fight for our revolution, also to liberate ourselves, it comes another dictatorship that is killing Africa continent.
Right.
Every time you walk away, you realize that also you also want to rule forever. So it becomes so they have a challenge now.
So personal ambitions clashing, of course, with the people.
That's
ambitions.
Right. So
yeah.
They have a struggle now. They're coming from the bush and they try to form a government and they feel like, okay, we fought for this. We don't want to give it away.
Right.
And we need to eat first.
Yeah.
So they want to loot as much money they can get to loot. And they're not willing to actually promote education and prosperity and the welfare of the community. So
sure.
This is a challenge we have now tried to challenge in the South.
Yeah.
But South have its own struggle, but now South is joining the African Union a couple of weeks ago to become a member of the African Union,
mm-hmm.
and they try to follow with the rule of African Union. But another problem in the African Union, we have a challenge in the African Union, that the African Union members, they were not educated enough about what's going on in Sudan. Because Sudan have been defined as civil war. Sudan is not a civil war. Sudan have been actually invaded by those who call themselves Arabs. And that's why it became the issue of Sudan. As long as the African Union try to compromise, to accommodate the North and the South as well.
Yeah.
But the North are not willing to work for the interest of the African Union. They work for the interest of the Arab League. And that become the issues pulling us back.
Now, some people are going to also remark on the fact that in the Southern Sudan, that is the oil-rich part of the country. So talk about a little bit about how the resources are playing into the struggle as well, because usually what ends up happening historically in the observation is that you will often have both struggles at the same time.
That's right.
This issue of human rights and people's identity and this culture, the clash between a cultural imperialism and a cultural assimilation and then self-determination and rising up and pushing back. But then it's either complicated by or at the same time, we're also talking about the issue of what is their real interest in the area. Is the real interest in the area, if we wipe out the identity of the people who live there and disrupt their culture, then we have better access and easier to control if we can have access to those resources.
Of course. Even the same thing now. We actually in the South now, we have no port when we can actually export our oil.
That's just a landlocked country.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the Sudan now has the Sudan oil is in the South. And the port that will export the oil is in the north. Now we have no access until to make other allies to be another port in somewhere in East Africa, like Kenya and other. Otherwise, now we have been blocked in the north as well.
Yeah.
Because in order to be finished, you break away nation, you also need to pay a price that okay, your oil. Where can you take your oil?
Right.
How can you export oil? That becomes a challenge we have now.
Yeah.
So now the South government tried to make another agreement with the north. And in order to export the oil through the north. In the meantime, the prices are so high to export the oil.
Sure.
One gallon is about $30.
Yeah.
This is very much the money that you could even buy the gallon. And now you are not getting anything out of it. So one way or another, you're losing anyway.
Yeah.
So the north, one way or another, have challenge with the food crisis now. The drying season went on, and people are dying of death of the starvation is kicking in the south.
Sure.
The northern business, the government of the north refused not let them to go to the south, because as long they go there, they kind of promote a little bit food and things like that. Now they try to stop them,
so
not
really
to go.
Just trying to blockade.
Exactly.
In a way, the nation.
And one way or another, also the 90% of the business people, they come from the north, because the southern don't know how to actually perform the business. So now, one way or another, we're still controlled by the north.
So it's still, so
yeah.
The colonial, in a way, the colonial dynamics
that's
still
right.
exists there. So then you, as you said, the Southern Sudan has just become a member of the African Union, like very recently.
That's
right. Sheikh, what do you see as the role that the African Union can play in helping Southern Sudan to open up other access to other ports or economic partners in the country?
Yeah.
Or on the continent, excuse me.
Yeah, like those are like the many problems that, like, taken individually,
mm-hmm.
each African country is facing at this moment.
Yeah.
Like, the Sudanese problem is a real problem, you know, because the clash between Arabs and blacks in Africa, you know, has its has unfolded very negatively in Sudan.
Right.
That is really because we have Sudan, we have Mauritania, and, you know, those are the major countries where we have seen those troubles between Arabs and Africans.
Right.
And black,
and
I should say, all Africans
yeah.
at this moment, but I should say between Arabs and blacks.
Yeah.
And Africa has been colonized also, and the colonization has preyed on those divisions.
Absolutely, sure.
You know, in Sudan, in Senegal, wherever you go in Africa, you take like Rwanda, or you take Burundi,
mm-hmm.
between the Hutu and the Tutsi,
mm-hmm.
we remember what the Belgians have done in those areas also. So Sudan has been like the longest one dragging,
mm-hmm.
but it has happened throughout Africa.
Yeah.
Right now, the fact that Sudan is a new Sudan, is a landlocked country. You know, has a lot of difficulties trying to export its resources. You know, is just showing the necessity, the importance of bringing
yeah.
really the African Union.
Right, exactly.
Because you take any African country by itself, any one of them
mm-hmm.
can really fend by itself.
Yeah, sure.
So therefore, it is really, if we want to go forward, if we want really Africa to be serving the Africans, we have to go forward. We have to implement the African Union.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say African Union, it is like the United States of America.
Yeah.
One state, one government, it can be a federation, it can be a confederation,
right.
but we have to make it if we really want to survive. At this 21st century, millennium.
And not unlike Europe realizing that it had to form its own European Union in order for it to maintain, what it was going to maintain as a Western power. And so it is a comparison that people can understand in complexity, but as well as precedent, even though each place has its own set of dynamics.
This is one thing I know. Let me add what I think African Union, how to work, they should work. If the Sudan problem have not been defined or solved by the African Union,
mm-hmm.
the United States of Africa is far away from Africa achieved,
mm-hmm.
because it's not going to be achieved without Sudan.
That's right.
Sudan is the heart of the Africa. If you see the maps, it's the one all Africa. If Sudan club, Africa Union is club.
Mm-hmm.
So we the Sudanese believe if our African brothers and the African diaspora cannot come and solve the problem of Sudan and listen what we are going through, there's no the United States of Africa would be just down the drain.
Mm.
And that's something we've been telling people every time.
Yeah.
So this is the deal. We the African indigenous people of Sudan, 95% have been controlled by 5% call themselves Arabs. And our African brothers are watching. They're watching the ball, they're watching the game. It's like a football.
Sure, sure.
They're not jamming in to stop the war.
Yeah.
And now we have people in the Northern Africa. Their ambition is to take over Africa. We have our African brothers in Libya. They have been persecuted the last couple of weeks ago when Gaddafi left. Mm-hmm. Most of the black people in Libya, they have been killed because they don't want any black to exist in Libya after the Gaddafi left. So the question now, the people who are killing people in Libya, are the people who are killing people in Sudan, as well in Egypt. So to be honest, we believe that the United States of Africa, as the Sudanese community like me, mm-hmm. in Bob and New Mountain and Blue Nile, we need to reform Sudan again.
Yeah.
And Sudan will become...
As an entire nation.
That's
not,
why.
Not two
why.
Separate nations.
Because it's not only... Yeah. South is not going to solve the problem of Sudan.
Sure.
Even I'm come from the South.
Yeah.
My job now, I'm working with the people in the North, African brothers, to reform the Sudan back again,
gotcha.
Where Sudan can look attractive to Africa, and then Sudan will unite African Union. That's why I see the beauty of the African Union.
I'm so sorry that this show is coming to a close because, again, we're getting to another chapter that we need to, you know, keep talking about. And so please give contact information for people so that either they can learn more about both the African Union and the dynamics of Sudan. Mm-hmm. Website?
Yes. Well, I'm going to go to the Rwale this weekend.
Yeah.
On Friday.
That's right.
We have a Rwale United Nations.
That's right.
The United Nations leader kind of meet, and we're inviting the Tomolofa Shanti. The man who have been working with the African Union for too long.
Yeah.
He has a vision of the United States of Africa.
Yes.
And he has what they call Africa-centric education.
Yes.
That is trying to dig now to promote the Sudanese leadership and Sudanese history that have been taken away for too long.
Yeah.
So we invite him to be a part of the rally. We're also inviting Dr. Sean Yutsi, African-American Department here at BCU.
Yes.
As well, he's confirmed that will go with us.
Yes.
We're inviting also Homeland Security Department at BCU. So we have all these rallies going to be taking place in this Friday in the United Nations building. And also we have, after that, we're going to have a conference. So to let you
the
know that...
The conference is this weekend.
It's going to be this weekend, yes. It's going to be in it's going to be in John Jay College in New York, Manhattan, yeah. So after the ride, we can have a conference there.
Okay.
We have the greatest speakers. It's going to come
there. Do you have either a website where the information
is? I have I have my website, the Southern Sudan Project.org.
Yes.
The website that I'm working on now, but you cannot find the information. But always we send it through. I can send it through you so you can send it to your audience
as
well.
That would be very good.
We're doing that, and we mobilized already. We're starting working for that. So that's the only contact I can give you. I'm available at BCU. Now I've been appointed associate professor at BCU as well in Homeland Security Department. So anytime that you need me,
very much.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm working with them, and very much involved for so many things that I do. So I will give Sean also to maybe Brother Nyang to say something. But I'm fan Africanist as well.
Yeah.
And I'm very passionate about African Union.
No, absolutely.
I'm
here. Yeah. No, that's clear. Yeah, I actually have to. Closing remarks, and do you have a contact for people?
As far as contact, we have the African Community Network,
mm-hmm.
where you see all Africans from different countries of Africa right now.
Right.
So we can be contacted through that, africancommunitynetwork.com. We have also the Gore Restaurant, which is really also a cultural connection.
It is, absolutely.
It is on 19th and Main, 1823 East Main Street. So we can be contacted also through that restaurant.
Thank you both for coming today. This conversation has been very informative in several directions, and so I appreciate the opportunity for you to give this very brief, again, it's always sort of a brief introduction to very heavy and far-reaching topics. And so I hope that you will come back so that we can expand on this a little bit more. Thank you, William, and thank you, Sheikh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richmond, for tuning in. We will be back with you next week. Thanks for tuning in to Defenders Live. Remember to keep up the struggle, and the kindness does matter. We will talk to you. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.